We got an important few weeks right in front of us. Certainly the finishing up of the preseason games. Also the getting ready for the start of the regular season. And actually it won't be more than a couple of weeks or maybe a little more before we're playing a real game. We have the side benefit of the next three games. We play Reggie McKenzie's team, John Dorsey's team, and John Schneider's team, which is unusual, all right in a row. But looking forward to seeing all those guys. I don't have anything to announce. I'll just take questions if anybody's got any.
Could you expand on that, though? I mean, to compete against guys that you worked with for so long together in succession like that. Is that any kind of distraction? Does it make it more interesting as you get into these things?
No, I don't think it's a distraction. I think it's, in some ways, it's kind of just a side benefit that, you know, before the game, you usually have a chance to shake hands and give each other a hug and wish everybody well. And the winner's happy about it and humble, and the loser's dejected but comforted by the winner usually. And It's real friendship, real people, real stuff.
Ted, on July 30th, you claimed Gerard Shepherd on waivers, if I'm not mistaken, that's the date, and you haven't made a roster move since. Why is that?
Just the way it's worked out. We've been at or pretty close to 90 the whole time.
Is that a reflection on that you feel pretty good about the
league? Well, it's just, you know, you can sometimes you keep adding salt to the mix, it gets too salty. Sometimes you have to kind of stop and say, okay, let's try to figure this out. And quite frankly, it's just a reflection of where you are. If you've gotten somebody nicked up, when we claim Shepherd, we had just had a couple of receivers with a bump or two, and you don't want to get too light at those running positions, especially early in training camp.
Ted, what are your thoughts on this new major point of emphasis in all of the flags?
Well, it's just the way it is. The league has deemed it appropriate to try to cut back on some of the contact on the outside, if that's what you're referring to. And it's a point of interest for the league and for the referees that are working the games in the preseason. A point of interest means, I think, from the league office, pay attention to it and call it pretty strict. And I think the players will adjust to it over time, like players always do.
I saw a report the league might be thinking about a 10-man practice squad. Got any thoughts on that?
It's fine with me. It's above my pay grade. I'm not getting to make a decision on that.
Those things have become pretty valuable for organizations.
Yeah, I think most people in my position, I think it would be natural for most people in my position to say that's a good idea. But I don't get a vote.
Ted, does the fact you have an early start on a Thursday night game change just the whole logistics of the whole final reduction, roster reduction?
Not a lot. We've done this before. We did this a couple of years ago. And now in that case, we had the advantage of having a home game, which makes quite a bit of difference on a short week. But the logistics are the logistics. Everything has to be sped up a little bit. You normally would practice a little something on a Sunday, no matter when you opened up. But certainly, when you're open up on a Thursday, the Sunday practice is you got to kind of get that ready to go pretty fast. Because the claims and non-claims and practice squads and all that won't be set until at least Sunday around noon. So nothing can get going before then.
Ted, when you watch the preseason games from the sideline, what kind of things can you see there that you can't see from higher up?
I think quite a bit. You know, you can see the glassiness of the eyes, or the non-glassiness of the eyes. I enjoyed watching, especially the fellows that I've not been around, I enjoy watching them play the game and even, you know, participate on the sideline and cheer their other teammates on and that sort of thing. I enjoy the whole process. Now, I think part of it's because, I used to be one of those guys on the sideline, mostly always on the sideline, not playing, but I think I can see things that are important to me for, in terms of character and mental toughness and things like that. I think there are little tidbits that I'm able to pick up on.
And getting back to my earlier question, does that put you at any kind of a disadvantage in terms of if you wanted to make a waiver claim and trying to get a guy here and all that kind of stuff?
No, everything just sped up. And you do what you do. Well, there'll still be enough time to do that. Nothing's going to start until the league says it is, and they've got specific times as to this happens here, this happens here, this happens here. We're accustomed to it. We know how it works, and we're not afraid to do roster things if it happens. Just because it makes it a little bit messy and harder work for us, you know, in terms of arranging flights and getting people in, that doesn't mean we're not going to do something.
And I know you don't look at your guys based on draft classes, but we asked you a bunch of questions about the 2012 class last week. What about the 2013 class now? I mean, you got five guys out of that group that right now are starters for you. When you have that happen with a group, how does that compute for you, and how important is it then to have a class that's going to looks like it's going to really contribute a lot?
Well, it's good. We don't look at it that way. We don't separate the players and the years. And we love the 30-year-old guys just as much as we love the 20-year-old guys. And I don't put it in a box like that. You know, the drafting is not an exact science. I've said that before. I would like to be good at it most of the time, but you have to understand that sometimes it's not going to work.
Is it important, though, that those guys are second-year guys, and you and Mike talk all the time about making a jump from year one to year two. When you start to see that, how encouraging is that to see from players, though, because that's what you're looking for, right?
Well, yeah. I mean, you're always looking for growth and guys that contribute early on as rookies. You know, certainly you anticipate some growth spurts in them, even though they participate early. But because there's nothing like experience. And when a young man can get experience playing, that's remarkable in terms of the way they grow and understand what's going on in the world.
Ted, every year is different, but is this year going to be a little bit difficult because you may keep six receivers? Is that a tougher spot to evaluate? Is it the linebackers because there's so much competition? Is there a position group that you look at and go, boy, it's going to be a tough call?
No, it's always the same. Now, it may bounce around from position to position, but there's always a lot of angst. There's always a lot of, brokenheartedness going through the whole process. So we anticipate it being that way.
And you look at it more as just, the best 53, so you don't always necessarily look at it as competition.
Yeah, it's not always, certainly from a number standpoint, the numbers bounce around a little bit, depending on, quite frankly, the quality of the play.
Ted, are you any more inclined to keep a player because you drafted him versus a player that you didn't draft?
Maybe a smidgen, but at the end of the day, whether you draft him or whether you don't, you guys are not going to care. You're going to care if we win or lose, and most of the people outside this building are going to care if we win or lose, and so we better keep the best ones.
What's the upside in keeping an undrafted player who maybe you don't know a ton about quite yet?
What's the upside?
Yeah.
Well, there's no upside if you don't know enough about him. I don't know. I don't quite understand the question.
Maybe a decision between a player you've seen in the regular season, you've seen what you can do on game day versus a guy.
Oh, you mean a veteran player as opposed to a young player.
Right.
Oh, okay. I see. Well, yeah, you have a body of work. You have more of that. But like I said, I think from the get-go, it's different now because drafts moved a little bit. You know, the time with these young players has changed a little bit. But I still think we have enough time during the whole process, and we're not there yet. We've still got some important avenues to discover, but I still think at the end of the day we'll have enough body of work to be able to make decisions properly.
Ted, yesterday Jerome Elliott said that one of the reasons he came here, the predominant reason, was because you guys brought him in and took the time to do the pre-draft visit with him. I know you guys have done that with a lot of undrafted guys. How important is that, you know, to kind of take a look at some of those guys and bring them in and get a closer look at them before the draft?
Well, we bring a lot of players in, almost exclusively guys that weren't invited to the combine. And it's usually to get to know them a little bit better, probably more so we're able to do a medical physical, which is important, you know, before you – it's part of, important part of the equation with all these young guys.
What does that do for you as a talent evaluator? I know it doesn't make the team for him, but how does that either influence your view of him or your desire to see more of him? What does that do for a guy who's evaluating these guys?
Yeah, I'm not going to speak too much about individual guys because I don't necessarily think that's appropriate.
I mean more a player who makes a significant impression.
I think sometimes things you do have to be I played in the league, and I went through a lot of preseason games, and I was oftentimes playing in the second half of preseason games, and competition level drops quite a bit, and even I made a few plays back in the day. It doesn't mean that this young man hasn't done some good stuff and all that. I think you have to kind of weigh all this out.
The use of the practice squad to develop players, it's so evident this year with your wide receiver core. Couldn't that help in the quality of all the teams in the NFL if they could hang on those players a little bit longer? And is there such a thing as hiding a player in the practice squad anymore? That kind of an old school
thing? Yeah. There's not much hiding going on in the NFL. It's a pretty competitive bunch we're going against. But no, we value the ability to develop players on the practice squad, just like I think it's meant to be. There are some people that might treat it more like, you know, these guys are just practice guys and it doesn't count. But, you know, from our point of view, our practice squad guys are told from the very beginning when they sign that practice contract that their job is to get ready to play and help us win. It may be next week, it may be 10 weeks from now, but that's what their job is to help us get ready to win games. And that means getting ready to play and play on offense, defense, run down on kickoffs, whatever it's going to be. And we normally, when we have people that get dinged up during the course of the season, we normally, if we can, we will fill it with one of our practice squad players as opposed to somebody off the street. It doesn't always work out that way.
Ted, going back to that, evaluating the twos, you know, Bum Phillips always would say about you that you were just stuck behind two really good players. That's why you were with the twos as much as you were. When you do your evaluation, though, during that portion of every preseason game, how much are you getting out of that? Because, you know, we know that you're trying to get your team ready to play the games that count, but isn't that the most important for a talent evaluator, is those parts of the game to figure out which guys – you're not sure if you want on your team or not, that's your chance to kind of get a feel for that?
Right. Yeah, I think it's natural, too, because, you know, the coaches are obviously, at some point, they kind of turn the switch and start getting ready for the season. From the talent evaluator standpoint, we're still in the middle of this stuff, and we've got some really important decisions to make. And I think when that sort of dilemma comes up, you know, Mike and I have conversations, and it always works itself out because he's he's big into the personnel part and is appreciative, I think, of the work that the scouts are doing. And we've been together long enough to where we understand each other's point of view. And I certainly understand their point of view.
Two more, please.
Right. We liked him a lot in college. We thought he could play. We did some workouts and stuff with him as a center. Sometimes that's not an exact science because, you got two or three guys at a pro day and doing that sort of thing. But he has the makeup of being a player, where he winds up playing. You never know, but so far he looks okay.
Two